Welcome back to Trent Voices. Joining me in the studio today, and actually dancing in the studio with me today, I always love it when a guest is rocking it, the tunes, is a woman who needs no introduction to the Peterborough community, although because this goes out to listeners across Canada and around the world, I'm going to offer up one anyways. Actually, I'm going to share the very brief bio that she sent me. Diane Therrien moved to Peterborough in 2010 to pursue her master's studies at Trent. She instantly fell in love with the city and sense of community. After graduating, she worked as a policy advisor for the provincial government in Toronto before moving back to Peterborough to take on the role of facilitator of community education and engagement for the Peterborough Poverty Reduction Network. She's a fan of social justice, cycling, dogs, and local beer. Diane?
That's true.
Before I'd like to say, well, welcome, first of all.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And with the welcome out of the way, I think I'd like to point out that there's a little something missing from your bio.
Probably a lot of things.
Yes.
I'm also a fan of dancing and doing radio shows. What else is missing?
You're a city councilor.
Oh, yeah, that.
That.
That's true. And on the Trent Alumni Council.
Now, a lot of journalists, they're accused of going easy on politicians, playing softball. I can think of Peter Mansbridge interviews where I've been watching going, come on, man, like ask the important questions. And so that's what we're going to do today.
Okay,
and I'm going to start off, what I want to know and what most listeners probably want to know is, going back to your bio, what is your favorite local beer?
I'm a big Publican fan.
Okay.
They're representing the downtown, and I quite like the Square Nail.
Good.
Yeah. Although I'll drink any of them.
Yes. There's so many wonderful brewers in town. And
yeah, the Old Stone's got a really nice, their seasonal is really nice, but it's like a kind of a one beer. Like, it's a little bit light for me.
Was it the ginger?
It's like the ginger citrus one, which is great.
I love Doug's beer.
But it's only 4% as well, which I feel like.
And you can't take it to go.
No. Exactly. So we got to work on that.
Or you could, but there'd be headlines.
But you would get in trouble.
There'd be headlines that you wouldn't want to.
I'm too new to do that.
Yeah. Okay, let's ramp things up a little bit. Let's get to politics, and let's start with that little part-time job that you have.
Yeah.
You've been on the job for roughly 3/4 of a year, so you've had a feel, you've had a chance to feel what it's like to be at City Hall, and I'm going to put you on the spot. In one word or less, hard to do it less, but one, you just shrug. Describe
Nobody
your,
can see that, though.
Yes, we'll do play-by-play. Describe your city council and experience, in one word.
Busy.
Really? Okay, I can see that. we're going to get more into politics in a little bit.
Okay.
But let's delve into your backstory a bit here. It's an alumni show, so Trent University's really good place to start. You came here as a grad student after graduating from McMaster in History and Peace Studies.
Yes.
First of all, peace studies.
I know. People are always concerned about what that is. I had people mishear it as pee studies. Like,
yes.
I'm a urologist. I'm like, no, that's definitely not the case. Pee studies is interdisciplinary, which is why it was kind of a good segue into Trent, because the degree I did was also interdisciplinary. But it involved sort of studying international relations, studying philosophy, studying religion to some degree, history, kind of all the sorts of disciplines that have to do with kind of why the world is as it is today, and with kind of, you know, highlighting, advocating for a more peaceful future going forward.
It actually sounds like a pretty Trent-like course.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I went to Mac, was because that peace studies degree really appealed to me. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do, you know, with my life 10 years ago. Maybe I still don't. I don't know. But that program really appealed to me, and so I went to Mac and did that, and I loved it. And so the interdisciplinary degrees have always been very appealing to me.
Okay, so what was the mindset then? So you finished the degree in history and peace studies, and so what got you to Trent?
Well, I took a year off. I did a bit of traveling with my sister. I worked in Hamilton for a bit, and I kind of knew that I wanted to do a graduate degree, but I wasn't quite sure what. And when I was looking into it, I realized I wanted to do one in Indigenous Studies, and it's hard to find masters in Indigenous Studies in Canada. In Ontario, Trent is the only one, and I wasn't quite prepared to move to Winnipeg or Regina, so and I'd heard great things about Trent, so I applied. It was the only the only grad school that I applied to. Like, I only applied to Trent, and if I didn't get in, I wasn't going to go, but I did, and I moved here and loved it.
What was the calling for Indigenous studies?
It's always been something that I've been really drawn to. I did a minor in it as well at Mac, and I have sort of a complicated family history that you know involves Anishinaabeg heritage, and the sort of history of colonialism around it has always been something that is really interesting to me. And so when you were talking, you mentioned earlier to kind of find a specialization and go with it. That's Indigenous studies really is kind mm-hmm. of almost a niche market these days, because it's kind of it's an issue that's growing, and sort of the urgency of actually dealing with our, you know, relations between Canadian government and First Nations people. Anyways, this is a long way of saying that I just kind of knew that's what I wanted to do. And so the MA at that point was Canadian and Indigenous Studies. Now there's sort of some sort of turmoil going on. And as I understand going forward, they'll be separate, which is, I can understand. On the other hand, it's too bad, because it was really interesting kind of pairing. But yeah, so that's sort of what drew me here. Cool. And I visited Peterborough a lot as a kid. My mom's family is all from out in this area. And so I knew a little bit about the town, and
It only takes one visit, and then it's in your blood.
Yeah.
And it happened to me. I came up when my brother was in university, and I woke up one morning. I'm like, "Whoa, hey, I'm a Trent student. How did this happen?
How did I wind up here? It wasn't the drinking.
It wasn't the pig's ear in the least." Now, you made a lot of connections really quick. You seem to really gel with this community. What made it so much of a home for you?
I've always been really involved in the community. Like, when I went to Mac, I wasn't from Hamilton. When I grew up, I lived in Mississauga, which mm-hmm. is, you know, there's really nothing going on there besides suburbia and sprawl and, you know, driving your car around and going to Tim Hortons. So I always really made an effort to get involved in the communities that I was in, and I've always been drawn to social justice causes. And so when I came here, I was really involved in stuff through the Frost Center where I did my degree, and then I got involved with the Race Relations Committee and other stuff that was going on downtown. And I lived downtown when I moved here. I still do, and I really enjoyed how much is going on for, you know, a small town, really. Mm-hmm. But I found it was easier to make connections. I know that's not always the case. I also made a lot of friends through school at mm-hmm. Trent, and I, you know, most of my best friends are still trying to finish their PhDs or whatever. And I don't know. I just, the vibe of it, I loved all the trails, cycling around, being able to walk downtown, always seeing people you know. There's a really great arts and music scene, and yeah, I just loved it.
And then you walk out with an education to boot.
Yeah, exactly. So that happened. Yeah.
And not only that, but you're a success story, because you went from doing your MA to having a government job. And I'm not going to say it's a rarity, but it's a success story nonetheless.
Yeah, you know, and it is. I applied for a lot of jobs in Peterborough. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find work in this town.
Yep.
And I was offered a contract down in Toronto, which I took, even though I knew I didn't really want to leave, but I was like, okay, Ministry of Aboriginal Affairs, that's what I'm interested in. I was lucky to end up to have a permanent full-time job there, but I also just wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. And I do not like Toronto. I did not like living there. I missed Peterborough.
Yeah.
Like I really had a deep longing to be back here the whole time that I was in Toronto. And so I was actively looking for work back here. And the Peterborough Poverty Reduction Network job came up. It's part-time,
yep.
which is part of what allowed me to do the city council thing, I think. But it was also at the time when I left my job in Toronto, I basically took a 50% pay cut and didn't I wanted to be back here so badly that I was just like, I don't care about the money. I just want to be happy, be able to bike to work in 5 minutes and not have cars trying to run me over.
I got to say that Toronto's loss is big time our gain. So,
thank you,
Toronto.
Yeah. Screw you, Toronto.
Screw you. I was going to say it, but I'll let the politician.
Everybody there is so mean. It's like, I hate it here so much.
This is going to end up on Reddit and BuzzFeed.
I know, right?
This
is, Sorry, they're already tweeting about it.
Peterborough Poverty Reduction Network, wonderful work that you're doing. What is the calling for you when it comes to social justice and when it comes to activism? What charges you up to get involved with this?
Oh God, I don't know where it all stems from. It's not like I didn't grow up in a family that was political or active in kind of any way, and they still are sometimes in disbelief that that I'm on the course that I'm on. They're like, really? Which they're like proud of it, but they just don't understand. I'm like, yeah, you must have had some kind of influence on me. I just don't know how. I mean, I really don't know. I've just always kind of believed in, I mean, it sounds so naive and so trite, right? Like in, you know, equity and why can't we all just be nice to each other and just not be assholes all the time?
Yeah.
Like, which seems so simple, but it, in practice, that's not how the world works. And there's a lot of stuff going on. And I've always had an interest in politics, not necessarily being a politician. That is kind of still a new thing for me, but politics in the sense that there's a few people with so much, and there's a lot of people who are really struggling. And I think that is a huge injustice that we need to keep working on. It's slowly becoming more and more in the public consciousness. Different levels of government are starting to talk about it. Different, you know, celebrities and stuff are starting to sort of talk about the inequality and you know, wealth distribution and all those kinds of things, but we have a long way to go.
Well, let's talk about that extra step then. I know that a lot of our listeners will be have some experience when it comes to social justice. Mm-hmm. They will have some experience when it comes to working either alongside or with, or at least have a knowledge of the not-for-profit sector that we have going here, that of the strong advocacy scene that we have. But running for office, that's a whole different level. And at what point did you feel that, hey, you know what, I could / should do this?
When I moved here, I did, and especially when I moved back from Toronto, I got really involved in the political scene in a way that I didn't before, I think. I've always followed politics and been really frustrated by it. And that's all levels. I didn't follow municipal actually as much when I was younger. I think a lot of people don't pay attention to municipal politics the way they do to party politics at the senior levels of government. But I, you know, that when the whole kind of Parkway debate was going down, that was an impetus for a lot of people to really get involved and to go to meetings that they, you know, had maybe never been to. I hadn't been to a council meeting prior to that. And after those debates finished, I kept going to meetings. I still went every Monday to the different council meetings, even if there's only, you know, two items on the agenda that didn't have any real weight on my life. And I just remember watching the conversations and thinking, there's so many voices that aren't around this table, and that should be. And also thinking, like, there has to be more that Peterborough can offer as our elected representatives. Like, what? And that's, you know, I'm not trying to disparage anyone, but it just is not representative. There's people on there that don't understand the realities of being precariously employed and growing up in sort of the environment, both, you know, environmentally and fiscally, that we do right now, and all of those kinds of things. And I was at a point in my life where I thought, you know what, I could do this, and why not? Like, why should I not do this?
Well, you know, without being disparaging, I will bring up the fact that the demographics of our city council have been heavily weighted towards both in gender and in age. It's been made up historically of,
well, that's
of
all retired levels men. Of politics, yeah. And that's all city councils across the I mean, probably everywhere, right?
Yeah.
I mean, running a campaign is hard. It's, and you know, it's time consuming. It's, you know, you need to have resources, you need to have people behind you. And if you don't have a job, you don't have an income to spend on that, you can't do it. If you work full time and you have small children and you don't have the energy to put to it, you can't do it. And so that's, I think, why you tend to have a lot of sort of retired or older businessmen who have the established name, who have the financial wherewithal, and who have the time. And that's sort of, it becomes almost a hobby for some people. And that's not just in Peterborough. I mean, that's everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right. If you take a look at the House of Commons, if you take, oh my, don't even bother looking at the Senate.
Don't even go there.
How much was that an impetus for you? How much was that where you're saying, you know what, I'm a 20-something woman. Yeah. No, screw you. I'm going to do this.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, that's part of it. I've always been sort of rebellious in the way that I do things, I guess. Part of it was, I think, going to Catholic school and always kind of, and getting into a lot of disagreements with teachers. But it was kind of like, there's no reason why I shouldn't do this. The only thing is, people are like, oh, well, you can't, you know, there were some naysayers who were like, oh, well, you're not from here. And, you know, you're young, you know, unmarried woman and da, 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 da. But Town Ward is also unique and different from the rest of Peterborough, and that you have a lot of students and younger people, and you know, young families who have moved here from the GTA because they can actually afford to live here, and more progressive seniors, the people that live in and around the downtown. I mean, downtowns across, again, like, demographically tend to be more progressive than the suburbs.
When you're in Chambers, as Diane Terry, and as, you know, 20 something firebrand, how's that relationship going
between me and
in council? How do you feel fitting in
with the rest of the council?
Yeah,
I mean, we're all very collegial and friendly, and mm-hmm. and I mean, some of us don't agree on a lot of things.
Yeah,
and you know. But I mean, everybody's very nice. You know, I wouldn't necessarily hang out with some of the other counselors outside of it, but some of them I do. Some of them we go for beers after the mm-hmm. meeting and kind of just shoot the shit and talk about what's going on. And so, yeah, I mean, at times it is, I mean, it still is an old boys club, right? Yeah. And there's me, myself and Leslie Purnell are the only ladies there. And even in the senior staff, there's only a couple of women, and it's, you know, predominantly men. And so there are those dynamics, but I haven't encountered a lot of, nobody's really been like overtly mm-hmm. disparaging towards me, aside from calling me girl sometimes, which is just like, I think this is what 65-year-old dudes do.
Yeah. And I think that they actually lack the language skills.
Yeah.
So.
Like,
okay. So like, let's
counselor to you, sir.
Let's peel that back a bit. It's not just an age and gender thing. You're bringing some politics, some very progressive politics, that are on a completely different page from what a lot of a very conservative city council mm-hmm. is. How do you see your politics thriving in that very, very at times constrictive condition?
Well, I mean, it's hard, and ultimately, I don't do it to impress like any of the other councilors, right? Mm-hmm. Because when I've talked about certain things that nobody else agrees with or even really understands, but then I get phone calls and a bunch of emails from constituents who are like, thank you for bringing that up, thank you for speaking out on this issue. And so for me, I've never minded being sort of the odd one out. I'm okay with you know, standing out and sort of falling on my own if nobody's willing to join me. But I think somebody's got to do it, and that's part of why so many young people especially are so frustrated with the political system at all levels, party and also municipal. And that's part of the reason I like municipal, is that it's not party based, is that people are just so frustrated because so many politicians seem unwilling to take any kind of risk mm-hmm. and just kind of fall into line and like, oh, well, you know, status quo, let's just do that. And it's like, no, we've been trying that and it's not working. So we need to bring something else to the table.
With that in mind, what are some areas where you would like to see some change? What issues are you pushing?
Well, there's things that are already on the books in terms of, or in theory are already on the books in terms of, you know, better cycling lanes, better pedestrian infrastructure. Our sidewalks are a mess downtown. They kind of all get spray painted orange to try to wave off the liability, but it's really inaccessible for a lot of people. We have a lot of seniors, a lot of people in with mobility devices that it's hard to get around. I'd like to see the urban park, the Lewis Street Urban Park push through, and those, you know, those kinds of things are really important to me. It also, I mean, then there's also things that are sort of, I don't know, conceptually different, I guess. You're limited in what you do in the municipality in that you don't have jurisdiction over kind of like higher level sort of legal stuff, right? It's mm-hmm. kind of the roads and all of that stuff. But I would like to see more of an inclusive sort of understanding demographic on council. I mean, a lot of the people on there have had solid, secure jobs their whole lives and, you know, were able to retire. I'm of a generation where me and the vast majority of my friends are precariously employed on contract and, you know, working two or three jobs to try to make a living wage. And that's the reality of today. So having that kind of in the back of people's minds while we're making decisions is something that I try to advocate for too. There's been a few times where I've gone on tangents about this, the language of taxpayers and da da da. And it's like, I get that we're responsible for the money that people are paying to us through their property taxes. I get that. But we're not only accountable to taxpayers, we're accountable to everyone in the city. And that's because children don't pay taxes, but children are the ones that we're building the city for. And so if you're always just like, we need to think of the taxpayers, it's like, no, we need to think of all of the people in the city. And that includes people that are 7 months old that aren't paying taxes, but mm-hmm. who are going to bear the brunt of the decisions that we make now. 20 years down the line. So there's also that sort of mind shift and shift and paradigm shift that needs to happen away from the sort of like neoliberal idea of taxpayers being, you know, the only thing that matters, because I don't think that that's true.
A lot of the language that I hear that comes from you, both in your politics and in this interview, again, they harken back to so many Trent tutorials that I sat in. I want to ask how your Trent experience, and I know that doing things like peace studies, there was already this direction that you mm-hmm. were moving in. But how do you see your Trent experience informing both you as a person and you as a politician?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really did, and I still work the odd kind of contract through Trent as a tutorial leader. So I'm still, mm-hmm. I just taught a sociology course over as a TA. So I love still having that connection to Trent, because I think that it really is a unique institution. When I was at Mac, it was so big, and if you went to talk to administration, they just wanted your student number. They didn't want your name. They didn't really, you know, they didn't really care. Mm-hmm. And at Trent, again, it sounds cliche, but it feels different. Like the first time I went into the registrar's office and I had my student card and they were like, oh, what's your name? Don't you need my number? They're like, oh no, we just need your name. And I was like, really? Like what? And so I think the physical location of it is beautiful. It was, I mean, we were talking about how it's the summer now and it's so quiet at Trent. That was when I got most of my writing done, because you could go to BATA and there was nobody there. You were like, the undergrads are gone. It's amazing. It's so quiet. And sit in a cubicle overlooking the water. And it was just really, I don't know. It was just, it's very calming in that way. And, you know, I met such an amazing base of community, both within my peers and also within sort of the faculty and academics and other people that work there, that were really supportive. And, you know, they were all super supportive of my campaign. And when I said, I'm thinking about running, they were like, that would be great. You should totally do it. And so you meet people that become your friends for life, and it doesn't matter if they're, you know, 40 years older than you and a tenured prof, they still kind of treat you as an equal. Not all of them, fair enough, yeah. But a lot of them do.
It's funny. I'm going to ask this question to a person who has successfully already carved out a career in politics, but really you're a new graduate, and relatively new graduate.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, what are you going to do when you grow up?
That's an excellent question. I don't know. I mean, I'm with the Poverty Reduction Network now, and which I love, and you know, I have another, that's a contract. I have another mm-hmm. year on that contract. And then, sorry guys, there's technical stuff going on behind the scenes for those of you who can't see what's going on. And so for the dance party,
woo, woo.
For the politics, you know, I've never, like I said, I never got into this thinking, when I was young, I was never like, I want to be a politician. And if anything, I was really frustrated by the nature of politics. But at that point, I really was only familiar with provincial and federal politics. And so, I mean, I love what I'm doing right now. I love being a counselor. It's challenging. It can be frustrating. It can, mm-hmm. but it's also really rewarding. So, I mean, I don't know. I have another 3.5 years and yeah. Well, really, if I decide to run again, it's really less than that, because you need to campaign mm-hmm. earlier than that. So we'll see. I mean, I'd love to stay in Peterborough. This is where I feel at home, and I'm rooted here right now, so I'd like to stay here. So hopefully I find a job in a year. If anybody's hiring in a year, keep me in mind.
you've got a couple of good things on your resume
yeah,
right now.
It's true.
So, well, no, it is true. One of the great things about being in politics, whether you're on the elected side or whether you're working as staff in a city the size of Peterborough, you do have that ability. You've had that ability to network. So mm-hmm. that is definitely going in your direction. This is a show for alumni, and in particular, we have a lot of young alumni mm-hmm. who listen to the show, and a lot of students who listen to the show, and a lot of them are burning with a passion for change, and,
yeah.
and probably similar burning passion that you've had. What advice do you have for students, you know, to harness some
yeah.
of this energy?
Well, part of it is just figure out what your passion is. I think, you know, it'd be easy to just be like, everybody run for city council. But I recognize that not everybody's cut out to actually be a candidate. But if you know somebody who would be good at it, try to help them and get behind them. If you mm-hmm. have really good organizational skills, if you're really good with sort of social media and website design and all that kind of stuff, if you have a friend who'd be good at politics, get them involved and offer to be their, you know, their tech and communications manager. And I mean, it's kind of about figuring out what your skills are. So I've always been an extrovert. I've always wanted to be I've always loved being the center of attention. My parents can tell you stories about how annoying I was as a child. But part of that works out really well when you're knocking on doors for hours every day. And then when you go out and people want to talk to you, and you have to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. And not everyone is. So if you're not, okay, well, what's your strength, and how can you kind of focus that? And not that politics is the only way to change things, because there's so much going on. If you're still a student, or even if you've just graduated, you know, getting, you know, volunteering is a great way to start, because a lot of it is networking. When I started here, you know, when I moved here, I didn't know anyone. And it was quick for me to realize how important knowing people is in this town, in all towns, but mm-hmm. especially in smaller towns, because it's all about who you know, which is the unfortunate truth of it, right? So not being afraid to get involved in a cause or anything, whatever it is that interests you, go do it. If it's a sewing circle, whatever, you're going to meet people who are involved in 100 different things. So it's just about getting out there. And if you're really introverted and don't like doing that, then, I mean, again, it's about finding those smaller social circles where you are kind of comfortable, or doing more stuff online, because Twitter's really big in Peterborough.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Who knew?
It's like everybody in Peterborough is on Twitter.
So you talk about being introverted or extroverted, and you talk, well,
Or in the middle.
Now, for someone like you, you are all of a sudden in the public eye, and I definitely know that there's, in the town the size of Peterborough, I know that I'm a very recognizable person, whether I like it or not, because of things that I've done, either through media or through politics or through whatever. How do you find being in the public eye, where you're walking down the street and people are going, oh, that's Diane Terrian, and does it unnerve you in the least, or
no,
does it empower you?
No, it doesn't unnerve me. But nobody's like yelled or thrown anything at me yet. So we'll see what happens in a couple years. But normally people just want to say hi and, you know, talk about an issue that's bothering them or, you know, or something like that. And it's fine. I mean, like anyone, I need time to recharge. Like, there's some nights where I'm just like after the show tonight, I'm going to like go home, have a beer, and just like hang out with my dogs and recharge that way. Because even though I am really outgoing and I don't mind that, it still is mentally and emotionally exhausting. Like, you always have to be on, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't ever be like, I don't want to talk, even though I would. Like, I'm not like that generally. If I'm out, I'm fine. But it's I think it's important for politicians or elected officials to be visible, because there's some people who, you know, represent the city or at all levels of government who are never seen by the people that they're supposed to be, you know, representing, and never interact with them. And so for me, it's really important. And even before I was on council, I go to community events. I always try to be out and engaged in what's going on. And part of that's my personality, but that's just how it has to be. And I think people appreciate that and really respond to that, right? And because then they're like, oh yeah, remember that, you know, barbecue, the community barbecue that happened? Oh yeah, I saw Diane there. And it's like, I would be there anyways, but now I think it's even more important, because people want to know that you're still engaged and you're not just like, I'm in, I'm like just going to, you know, retreat to my castle, or I don't have a castle. That'd be awesome.
Actually,
though.
she has a castle on London Street. Yeah. It's a blink and you'll miss.
London Street castle.
So downtime, we're in, I think, a place where we would both agree, one of the most fantastic places to spend the summer.
Yeah, and I know, it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we're a bit sweaty today, but that's summer today. Ontario. So what do you have on? What is going to make this 2015 summer memorable for Diane Terrian?
There's a lot. I mean, Peterborough is great because there's so many festivals and events that happen. The Beer Fest a couple weeks back was great, although also very hot and sweaty. And I know that next year they've talked about maybe moving it to a more sort of grassy location, so mm-hmm. we'll see what happens there. I mean, the Peterborough Folk Fest is always awesome, as you alluded to earlier. I have a couple other music fests that I normally go to, Hillside and Shelter Valley, and I'm actually taking a bit of a holiday in August. My partner and I are going to do a road trip down to Maine and do some hiking.
Oh, great.
So I've never been there, but he's wants to go, and so I was like, sure, let's do that. And other than that, I mean, I'm working, I don't get that much time off, and I mean, I just enjoy you know, your normal Monday night in Peterborough. You can, I mean, it's beautiful. It could go out to a patio after and chill, or you can just have a beer in the backyard. And I think that that's great.
Well, you have to be sure that you save time for a beer for me at the Only.
Yes,
I think our last two beers at the Only have been interrupted, so...
I know. What the heck? Well, one of them you, like, bailed halfway through. You were like, I'm leaving.
I'm leaving.
Did I say something wrong?
No, it was actually my six-month-old.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not even supposed to be out drinking.
She texted me.
She's like, get home, Dada.
She's an early adopter. Diane... Thank you very much for being here. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And hopefully come back again.
Sure. Yeah, I'm just down the street anytime.